Koji is a venture capital firm cultivating community. This podcast is dedicated to cultivating conversations. Web 3.0 is democratizing the internet, and Koji Conversations is here to democratize access to the founders, investors, and creators building it from the ground up. In this episode with Isaac, we touch on his colorful history, how he's one of the best positioned individuals to solve real world problems like the affordability crisis when it comes to home building, using Web3 native solutions for coordination and financing. We also go into how he's looking to position into the metaverse. We touch on crypto cities, and we also talk about the future of Rigor and how every single individual can become a lender in this environment. So without further ado, here's Isaac and here's Rigor. Isaac, thank you so much for coming on Koji Conversations. It's a pleasure to have you here, man. Your past is super colorful. You're a really energetic person, and every single time we've chatted, I've honestly loved it. So yeah, how are you going today?
Wonderful. The feeling is mutual, and thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, of course. So we start off every episode with a little bit of an elevator pitch. A lot of the listeners may have already heard of Rigor, some may have not. So yeah, what is Rigor? Why are you building it, and what are you building?
Sure. So Rigor is a DeFi protocol, an application that unites decentralized liquidity for new home construction, right? For home builders seeking to finance the construction of new homes. It integrates that with workflow tools for payment flows and for workflow management. And our ultimate goal is to solve this pernicious affordability crisis we have by making it both more profitable and more efficient for all the constituents of the home building enterprise to build homes, while also delivering, you know, more affordable homes, you know, more efficiently.
Awesome. We'll get into the affordability crisis a bit later, because that really is the big problem that you're solving for. But I want to touch on sort of your background a little bit. You've really done everything. And yeah, it'd be great just to go through a bit of your background and then how you found yourself in a position where Rigor made a lot of sense to you as a product.
Sure. Yeah. So I'll spare you the long version, but I, you know, I've been blessed to have a lot of experiences along the way. So I was a childhood actor. I starred on a sitcom. I went to Harvard and studied math and computer science, graduated when I was 19. And that's when I started my first business, which was an ad tech company. We were one of the first ones to dynamically target and dynamically generate ad content. Went back to Harvard for law school. Was a fellow of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society there. I had a sort of awesome sojourn in public law. I worked for the U.S. Justice Department for a while, litigating appeals, briefing and arguing my own cases, which was amazing.
Cool.
Clerked for two U.S. Supreme Court justices. Along the way there, I started a business or two and actually founded a nonprofit I'm very proud of. Lost my sight to a degenerative disease along the way in there from about age 13 to about age 25. I kind of slowly lost my sight. In 2011, I returned to my sort of entrepreneurial roots, and most notable for this conversation about Rigor, with my Harvard College roommate, Zach Merriman, I bought a struggling residential construction subcontractor here in Orlando, Florida, and we used that business as a platform to sort of test some ideas about how we might sort of improve the construction industry. And after about 10 years of that business, you know, really Rigor is a natural sort of next act, I guess.
Mm, okay. And I think for a lot of listeners, myself included, I don't really understand all the nuances of the construction industry. So maybe just at a super high level, like what's sort of like the pain points of the construction industry? And then sort of with those issues in mind, where did the solution Rigor come into play?
Sure. That's a wonderful question. So it's really sort of in two sort of interrelated problems that really kind of exacerbate each other in a sort of classic vicious cycle. So the first is a lack of coordination. A customer of mine quips that we build homes today, really in a lot of ways, the same way we used to build homes 100 years ago. And there's just very little technology. There are some sort of there's a patchwork of, you know, pinpoint software solutions out there that endeavor to add value, but really for no fault of their own, it's hard for them to do. Basically, you're likely to see out there in the field, you know, work getting coordinated, quote unquote, with text messages and spreadsheets being emailed around, legal pads in the glove box of pickup trucks, whiteboards back at the office. I mean, paper checks are the norm. And so, you know, the left hand really doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And it's basically a complete and total mess out there in the field. A lot of that is related to, as I said, sort of intertwined with sort of the second problem, which is liquidity. And so understandably, given the way I kind of describe the way the industry works, you know, residential construction is viewed as a very risky asset class. It shouldn't be, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's secured by land, which is, you know, sort of the best collateral we know. But it's viewed as a very risky asset class, a very opaque supply chain. And in a sort of a very unfortunate way, that the sort of a system that the financial stack imposes to try to mitigate risk actually winds up making things far worse. So I'm sorry I'm rambling here, but this part's pretty critical. Basically, you go to a specialty lender who's going to charge you a ton of money and all sorts of fees and you know, crazy interest and whatever. And you go to them and you say, okay, I need to borrow money to build a house. And they'll turn around and they'll say, wonderful. Once you've built, let's say, the first third of the house, you've reached some milestone. First, you know, once you've completed it and you've categorically proved that to me, at that point, I will advance you the money you need to build the first third of the house, which is totally baffling.
Yeah. What?
So what winds up happening is, you know, there's this, you know, virtual blizzard of paperwork that flows up from the subcontractors and vendors up to the general contractors, up to the home builder, all this sort of legal administrative work to try to, you know, establish that this draw is warranted. It gets submitted to the bank. By the second or third or fourth time, it's approved. And then the money is handed to the borrower in literally like a paper check. And you hope that by bucket brigade, this money is going to follow its way all the way back down to the, you know, intended recipients. And so, first of all, you know, it takes months to get paid. 80% of the industry says that that's a limitation on their business. You know, working capital burdens are crazy. And, you know, second of all, it creates all these sort of pernicious and contrary incentives. Whoever happens to be holding the check at any moment in time, you know, really sort of leverages possession of the funds, you know, over whoever's next in line. So you get this waste, this fraud. People don't show up for jobs because, you know, it's not worth going back to the to finish up a job that they haven't been paid on in months. They go, you know, they go elsewhere. And so, you know, classically, the system that the process that the financial system, you know, endeavors to use to protect itself actually winds up harming everybody and making the whole process a lot more risky. And so that's the way, for the most part, you know, homes are financed today in America and really around the world. And it's a mess.
And you successfully navigated that.
Yeah. And so back to the sort of coordination tools, you know, if you have some wonderful scheduling software that endeavors to, you know, schedule all your subcontractors on the job, but it has no visibility on the payment flows, on the finances, on the money, and no control over it. It's wonderful that your scheduling, you know, software says that your subcontractor is going to be on the job tomorrow. But if that subcontractor hasn't been paid in 3 months,
yep,
you know, it's not really worth counting on that.
Yeah, for sure. That's interesting. So even prior to Rigor, you sort of obviously like pulled a company that was failing working in this exact problem space to one that became successful. So yeah, maybe briefly describe sort of how you, like, I guess, 180'd that project, because I think that's
for our own business ODC, which when we bought it was doing about $15 million a year in revenue at a loss. And, you know, bought the business, one of the first things we did was we hired, you know, a bunch of software developers, and we set out to develop our own software to transform this company into a logistics business. We said, we are going to be excellent in the logistics of managing construction. And so on the coordination side, we developed the tools we needed not only to coordinate our own, you know, workforce, but also our, you know, subs and vendors, our partners, our customers, our suppliers, et cetera. And we invested in, it was almost like IBM, right? We had the manual of processes, and, you know, we tried to, you know, over weeks and months and years, refine every process that took place through a, you know, a particular protocol and the steps that need to be taken and, you know, how you handle certain contingencies. And then we did the financial engineering we needed to do to make sure that we could pay our vendors and our subcontractors weekly, every Friday, come, you know, hell or high water, you know, no matter what.
Yep.
And, you know, by doing the deeds that needed to be done, so to speak, with, you know, blessed with an amazing team and some luck and also a lot of hard work, you know, the vision proved a great one. And so, you know, that company has grown into Florida's largest private residential construction business. We build something like 8,000 or 9,000 homes a year. And every day there are, you know, thousands of people who go to work for that company, ODC, which I'm immensely proud of. I say that company instead of my company because I sort of moved on from the day-to-day management. I still own it with my partners, but I moved on from the day-to-day management of that business in 2017, which is when I took the irreversible plunge into crypto and Web3 that we all know, you know, swallowed the, what is it, the blue pill or whatever?
Red pill. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, the red pill. Yeah, of course.
That's all right. You're forgiven. Yeah. And I think that's pretty interesting. So like there's two major problems, one of which is coordination. The other one is like finance and getting the financing and then also paying people on time to ensure that the coordination will be there. It seems like these are two problems that crypto like solves extremely well. And I guess that you also sort of notice that, and then out comes Rigor.
Exactly right. And not only do you need to solve them both, but you need to solve them both in an integrated way. So with Rigor, you know, when a home builder posts a project to a lending community, for example, now that lender who invests in the project has full visibility on every task that is to be completed and the budget and when the work is completed, et cetera, et cetera. And critically, you know, the lender lends money into the project and it's escrowed. But when it comes out of that escrow, it does not flow to the home builder and then to the GC and then to the subcontractor and then to the subcontractor's vendor and all the way down the line. It flows directly from the project escrow to whoever is the intended recipient of the money, which is so much more obvious and better and efficient and perfect a solution than the one that is employed today, than the status quo solution. If you want to ensure that there's no risk of the funds winding up somewhere else, then why don't you just ensure that they wind up where they're supposed to go? So that's what we're doing with Rigor, and you know, we're having a blast at it.
Cool. And let's sort of go into the full architecture, right? So sure. As a participant, as a lender, I guess, who are the sort of lenders that you're targeting today? Are they your average DeFi users? Are they sort of your more institutional lenders that are currently lending in the traditional market, in the traditional real estate landscape? And then moreover, sort of like, who are the builders on the other side and like the full stack on the building side?
Sure. So the short answer is anyone and everyone. Mm-hmm. We really tried to architect Rigor to make it a generalized solution, public infrastructure for home building. That, you know, and we, you know, kind of really worked hard to make sure that all the different constituents of the industry can use it and can benefit from it. And so the way we did that is this sort of the lending part works off of this model of lending communities, which are basically, you know, permissioned pools in permissionless architecture, right? So anyone can set up a lending community. We have in our beta, for example, institutional investors, large institutional investors who are using a lending community to, you know, with designs ultimately to lend at great scale, all the way to DeFi users, as you mentioned, whether they be individual DeFi users. There's some DAOs that are forming that we're really excited about, specifically to pool capital to invest in Rigor. Just individual private investors can join the party. But basically, these lending communities are formed either by lenders or by home builders. And they, you know, they set the criteria for who can join. They can organize around either, you know, a geographic region or a product line or, you know, any other sorts of, you know, criteria that they're interested in. And that's where projects are posted and ultimately funded.
Cool. And I think it's probably an important question to ask. So most of DeFi to date is built on this idea of over-collateralized borrowing and lending. So like to borrow money out of a protocol, you need to have posted more collateral in there. There are a couple of projects, one of which like we've invested with at Koji, Maple Finance, that do under-collateralized lending to institutions, crypto institutions. And the way that they do that is they have a credit assessor in the middle that basically assesses the credit worthiness of whichever institution is receiving the borrowed funds, such that the lenders are in a position whereby they're confident that their investment will eventually pay off. Yep. I guess in the Rigor model, I'm guessing it's also under collateralized lending, and is it based off sort of the history of the people that you're lending to? Is that sort of where the credit worthiness comes into play as well?
Yeah. So it actually, you know, it supports either model, and it really depends on, you know, the preferences of the lending community. Generally, you know, the collateral posted is the land itself. Yeah. And generally, you know, the home builder will also, you know, put down some of the equity, right? So you'll loan maybe, you know, 80% or 90% of the cost, and they'll, you know, they'll come up with the rest. Like a Maple, we, you know, we solve the IRL, you know, in real life problems that are, you know, that they're not problems. I mean, it's a good thing, right, that you have the opportunity to underwrite individuals and businesses. It's a good thing that you do things like record a mortgage against the property, you know, if you want to make a loan for construction and things like that. And so integrated into these lending communities is the opportunity for folks to plug in whatever, you know, service providers they want to use for exactly those kinds of things. Do they want to do an appraisal of the house to be built? Do they want to, do they want title insurance? Do they want whatever? They can sort of use whatever workflow they want right in there in that process of accepting the project. I will also say that way down in the future, and you know, this is a, you know, we're patient, and we realize that this is a grand vision that's going to take, you know, some time, and we're, you know, we're just going step by step here. Crawl before you walk, before you run is what I tell my team over and over and over again. But in any event, down the road with, you know, token economics, there are all sorts of amazing ways that we can augment and supplement some of the you know, sort of IRL systems that are used today, both on the sort of legal side and on the financial side.
Love that. If you've gone into any ideating there, would be cool to hear some of the ideas that you have around that.
Yeah. So, I mean, to the extent that there's a token economy, you know, around the protocol, you could imagine, for example, you know, you stake a token to use the protocol, you earn tokens, you know, through your usage of the protocol over time, they might have value, and you can also earn them in the form of sort of reputation by completing work.
Love that.
By sort of the vote of your peers. And it, you know, our hope, our expectation is, you know, you could come to a point where sort of membership in the community, as represented by your, you know, your token ownership and your history on the platform itself could be very valuable, to where staking those things could be sort of an alternative form of collateral, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I think it's honestly so cool to see a project that's using sort of this blockchain infrastructure that's been built in a way that really sort of is outside the realm of crypto.
Yeah.
So you're using it for an actual, I guess, IRL positive change. And I think that's so important. And we're starting to see that more and more. There was a podcast we did a little while ago with VitaDAO, which are using sort of the coordination problem tooling, so DAO frameworks, to really upend the biomedical science area by allowing people to do early stage research and get funding for early stage research in longevity. Mm-hmm. And then they're slowly transitioning out to other biomedical areas that are underfunded. So it is the really early stages, but you're seeing a lot of like crypto native tooling and coordination problem solving techniques, like decentralized autonomous organizations, to really solve real world problems. And I think there's really two areas that I want to touch on in where Rigor can be massive. The first one, well, there's three areas, one of which is the problem that you're immediately solving for. There's another one, which is the metaverse, which I'm keen to hear about a little bit. I know it's quite topical. So yeah, I guess before we go into crypto cities, which is the last one I want to touch on, I'd love to go into the metaverse and sort of your plan for Rigor in the metaverse.
Yeah, you and I were talking about the metaverse a couple of weeks ago, and you know, you got me thinking a lot about it since then. It, you know, I mean, the short answer is yes. in a lot of ways, it's a much easier use case for us.
Completely crypto native.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we're excited about it. As I mentioned, you know, our hope and expectation is that there will be some DAOs that will form to pool capital and make use of the Rigor platform. And we certainly, you know, have every hope and expectation that one or more of those will pull us in the direction of the metaverse. And we have some sort of, you know, some early designs on some pretty modest, you know, changes to the product we can make to do that. But absolutely. It's a wonderful use case.
For sure. And it's just super interesting because it's obviously you're doing like real world infrastructure and real world building, but a lot of things you see in the metaverse all the time, a lot of people buying land, but another way to unlock value in your land in the metaverse, very similar to in real life, is building on your land and making productive use out of your land. So Rigor like can seamlessly sort of fit both areas, one of which is sort of your IRL builders and that sort of stack of all the people required to coordinate around the production of a house versus maybe your more software engineers, your designers to be able to do it in a more digital native way. And then
absolutely.
The other area, which is also quite topical, Vitalik released a paper, I think it was probably 2 weeks ago now, maybe three, is on crypto cities. And you're seeing a couple of DAOs spin around this currently. So you've got CityDAO being one of the leaders, and they've essentially bought land in Wyoming with the intention of building on top of it. You've also got Build. So Build's another DAO, which isn't necessarily building the land, but instead they're going to be renting out sort of co-working spaces and then sort of have a really crypto native way of co-working and like a Web3 native way of sort of proliferating the whole co-working dynamic outside of just, I guess, Discord rooms, for example. It could be really interesting seeing how Rigor can be sort of like this fundamental infrastructure piece that really allows, well, like a Web3 native infrastructure piece that really allows these Web3 native projects and DAOs to start operating in the real world, considering that they're obviously looking to be, you know, building real land items and real residential areas and real commercial areas. It seems like for them, a pretty, I guess, aligned infrastructure play or, I guess, developer is Rigor in that scenario, because you're definitely the underlying core piece that allows that to happen in a very sort of, I guess, yeah, Web3 environment. I'm saying Web3 a lot, but I think that's pretty much the word for it.
We're aware of both of those projects. We've spoken to both of them, and we'd love to be involved. I think that those would be great early use cases, obviously, of Rigor for sure. And we're super pumped about them. We think they're a great project.
100%.
That said, you know, definitely. You know, in addition, I want to just sort of make sure that really what speaks to my heart in the founding of Rigor and in sort of our ethos is this notion of the affordability crisis. Mm. This fact that, you know, we as a country here in the U.S., and it's sort of it's a similar story in a lot of other parts of the world, but we have been systematically underproducing new homes for decades. And we've, you know, now with COVID changing the way people want to work and live, with the millennial generation, you know, looking for, you know, to do new home formation, you know, the problem is only getting worse and worse and worse. So, I mean, it's estimated that we're, I think a conservative estimate is we're 6 million houses short. Those 6 million tend to be, you know, highly concentrated in the, you know, entry level, you know, lower priced homes. And so, you know, we're literally talking about this dream of home ownership, you know, kind of becoming a fantasy for more and more people. And then, you know, we turn around and we colloquially call it an affordability crisis. You know, in the newspapers, CNBC and Wall Street and whatever, you know, even as these sort of Wall Street backed, you know, production home building companies, you know, celebrate record profits, you know, they call it an affordability crisis, which is somewhat crazy, I think. And so, you know, our answer is it's not an affordability crisis. The thing is, us humans we're pretty lousy at building homes, and there's a lot of waste and inefficiency and, you know, financial costs. That shouldn't be in there. And if we focused on building homes more efficiently, we could deliver far more of them, you know, at a far less cost. And by the way, more profitably for the productive constituents of the industry. So, you know, our passion really is making sure that people who want, you know, homes to live in, you know, can have those homes.
Rigor, the core piece to solving the affordability crisis.
We think so. Yeah, we think so.
Hell yes. With that vision in mind, where are we now? And I guess, where are we sitting on the roadmap? What's in the near term? What's in the longer term vision?
So where we're at now is both super exhilarating and exciting, and also only a little bit terrifying. Our beta is fully launched. Excuse me. We have our MVP deployed. We've sort of curated a supply chain and sort of handpicked some builders and some lenders that we've started building homes with. We call it our 100 homes
Unreal.
Beta. We're going to sign up 100 homes. We have, I think, 7 or 8 now in process. If you go to our website, rigor.build, you can see videos of the groundbreaking and meet some of the home builders and some of the investors that are involved. And so, you know, so far, so good, man. And then, you know, meanwhile, you know how it is with, you know, with MVPs, right? You spend, you know, 10% of the resources, you know, building 90% of the functionality. And then, you know, you need to raise a ton of money and spend 90% of the resources to build that last 10%. So that, you know, that's where we are now as we sort of get further into this beta, you know, finish out the year, sort of early next year. I think we're going to be looking for some more financial partners. We're, you know, we're in some talks there that are going well. And we also hope by then that some of these DAO projects that I referred to will come online and offer a really compelling way for us DeFi degens to get involved where we, you know, one idea is, you know, pool capital in a DAO, have, you know, smart financial strategies to ensure that undeployed capital is, you know, is generating a, you know, a good yield, frankly, sort of supplementing and sort of adding to the yield you'd get even in sort of residential construction loans. Mm. And then sort of automating the opportunity for people to, you know, people who buy the vision, who buy the ethos here of this project to, you know, to be part of solving the problem. Because, you know, we need to bring in, you know, internet scale, Web3 scale liquidity. You know, right now, again, you know, the financing, only 3% of construction financing in the world goes to new home construction. And that's because, again, it's long been this sort of domain of the specialty lender. Mm. And we need to break that wide open. And so
everyone becomes a specialty lender.
Yeah, exactly right. And down the road on the product roadmap, you know, there's opportunities, you know, not only to lend, but to, you know, lend and then, you know, maybe retain some equity in a, you know, rental arrangement.
Cool.
We're looking at models of rent to own. How cool would that be if every rent check you pay through the Rigor platform gets you equity in either the home you live in or in,
that's awesome,
apply to some other home, property management models, and on and on and on. So we're just getting started. And it's a lot of work. So anyone who's interested in helping us, please join our community. You can get to our Discord through you know, through our website, and you know, we're trying to raise an army here.
Isaac, I was actually about to sign us off, but it looks like you just nailed it there. Any final remarks before we close this episode?
You know, just I'll just echo a remark you made earlier, which is, you know, when I first got into crypto in, you know, 16, 17. You know, you would try to explain it to, you know, friends and family and folks who are involved. And, you know, the question I would always get is like, when is this actually going to, you know, have some real tangible effect in the real world for like real people? And that's, you know, among the many exciting things about Rigor, that's one of, you know, that's one of the great blessings. What better use case than say, look, we can harness the absolute magical power of crypto to coordinate human beings in ways we've never been able to coordinate before. And we can harness that power to do things like build homes for people who need them. And so I feel blessed to be part of this. And we hope that, you know, in addition to all its other wonderful benefits, that Rigor will, you know, will help show the world that this, the, you know, these Web3 technologies, mm, these crypto networks, you know, ain't just fun and games. they're going to change the way we live and work and organize ourselves.
Yeah, it's a beautiful vision and we're all keen to watch it play out. Isaac, thanks so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I'm sure we're going to have another chat probably next week or in a couple of weeks or something.
Thanks, Jack. Great to be with you as always.
Catch ya. Thanks for joining this Koji conversation. To continue the conversation offline, DM us on Twitter at @Koji_capital or reach out to us via email, hello@koji.capital, or jump into our Discord linked in our bio.